All right, we're about to get going with episode 60 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. But first, a quick message from our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jaro. Austin Jaro Sports, out of Duluth, Minnesota, specializes in all types of running gear. So running shoes, socks, clothes, apparel, even track spikes, trail running shoes, food, whatever you need. To go for a training run, get that PR. Check out Austin Jaro Sports. They are in the mall area at 1025 West Central Entrance here at Duluth. Check them out online, austin-jaro.com.
All right, and now we are joined in our interview portion of the podcast with Dr. Kyle Severson. Kyle, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys. It's like recording a normal conversation with you guys. Let's talk some running.
Let's do it. So let's start with our first question, which is kind of the obvious one, the one that we often start with. Tell us about when you got started running. Where were you? Kind of what age? All that stuff.
Yeah. So I grew up as a, you know, your typical three-sport athlete, just, you know, football, basketball, baseball, and I was that way the whole time, and it was seventh grade, first year of playing tackle football, first year of school sports, and I remember pretty vividly. It was like 2 weeks into practice, I was on the ground, and I just see this foot come over my hand and just step down, and went to the ER and got an x-ray, found out it was broke. So that ended my football season that year.
What position were you playing, by the way?
I think I was a linebacker.
Okay. Right.
But that's what my guess was going to be.
Yeah.
I felt like a linebacker.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it didn't look good. But so I still wanted to get involved with the school sports and you know, not sit on the sideline. And mm-hmm. So I decided that I might try out some cross-country team. A good friend of mine's brother was on the high school team and seemed to really be liking it a lot. You know, there was a certain sort of coolness edge that he was, you know, was talking about with that team. So decided to go out for the seventh grade cross-country team. It was this handful of people. But I remember the first day of practice, it was a 4 mile round trip, run to the Nikusa Bridge and back. And I felt so good doing the 2 miles out and then just tanked on the way back. And I was just like walking the last bit. So it was a good wake up call that, you know, this was going to be a challenge. It was going to be tough. But there was also, it also was, promising that, you know, I had a lot of fun when I was running really fast. So decided to stick with it and you know, finish that whole cross country season, and wasn't good by any means, but it was something that I could see, you know, it was a challenge and it was going to be fun, and if I worked hard, it was something I could get better at. So next, went out for track, and because of that experience with the cross-country team, did more of the distance events, and started to train with some of the high school guys in the winter, and just, you know, really started to have a connection with running. And so the next year, the eighth grade year, I had a choice, go out for football again or, you know, continue the running path, and decided to go with the running path, and haven't looked back since, had grown, started to get better and successful, and had a great run with that.
Yeah.
Something about it, you know, we were training that summer with some of the high school guys, and we just got started getting really good, and so I decided I didn't want to go down that football, baseball path again. This running thing really was something I felt like I could do well at, and it was a ton of fun. And I had friends, you know, I had formed some friendships that I didn't want to give up on. So, so I went out for cross country in eighth grade, and that's when things really started to take off. It became really, really a successful runner, and continued it throughout my high school career into college running, and now it's something that I could, you know, don't live without. Yeah. You know, it's, a week without a run, it would be, you know, I couldn't imagine it. So,
and where did you go to high school? Where was this at?
It was Central Wisconsin, a really small town along the Wisconsin River called Nakusa. Mm-hmm. It's near Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point.
Okay.
Down about 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. A mill town. So yeah, kind of a rougher town, and everyone liked their football, and you know,
yeah.
It was kind of that. But then, with me and my friends that were in my class, upperclassmen, lowerclassmen, we created a really nice culture there, and we had a very successful run in the running events. I think we got runner up at state my senior year, and then won the 4x8 my senior year, as well as going to state all those times too. Yeah, so cool. yeah
nice. So we got established a little bit of a tradition there. I don't know what it's like now, but
yeah,
to take something. So, like you say, communities are often, smaller communities especially, kind of single sports driven. And in my experience, it's rare when it's a running thing. It's generally football, basketball, baseball, hockey up here, skiing, that kind of thing. But I can't think of too many high school where the running is the cool team to be on, and the community is all backing it. Mm-hmm. And you guys kind of sounds like took it maybe from 0 to 10.
So. No, that's exactly how it was. Suddenly, you know, the traditional runners, we weren't the ones really being bullied, you know, sense. We were the team that was having a lot of success, and everyone, you know, really, really respected the work that we were doing. So that was really cool, you know, and it showed you that, you know, this is something that you know, we obviously know at this point that it can be a really gritty sport, you know,
absolutely.
And you know, at that time, it showed a lot of people that it's a hard working sport.
Did your coaches really help facilitate that culture?
Yeah.
Or was it you guys just kind of took things on your own?
Yeah, we had a really good coach. Yeah. In fact, he's coming up and running Grandma's this year.
Oh,
so
sweet.
I'm excited to see him in a while. But yeah, so he ran for Nakusa as well in high school, and that was the last time they had a lot of success in the running community. Mm-hmm. So when he, you know, he saw all this talent coming up, he decided to take the reins and had a really, you know, really good run with our team, the guys that followed up after. So, he definitely, it just was a perfect scenario of everything coming together.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
Do you think if it wasn't for the hand that you'd be like a linebacker?
Yeah, I honestly think I would not have gone down that route. So I'm so glad I broke my hand.
Stepped on your hand.
One little thing.
I'm so thankful because this is something, I don't know. Running can be, you can just use it. It's so lifelong that it's just, my life would be completely different if I didn't have it. And it started in that moment. So, yeah.
I can relate to that, your first run story to the bridge and back,
because
that was the story of my last run, which was, of course, today.
Yeah, a couple hours ago.
I went out, I was feeling good, and back, not so much. So
yeah.
That's
funny.
Well, you didn't have to stop and walk. I was walking for most of the second half. So
how'd that first year go for you? I mean, do you feel like you found success or like liked it right away? Or was it just kind of like, this is my thing, you just stick to it and put your head down and grind? Or where was your head at right away starting?
That first year that I was running? Yeah, as a seventh grader, it's hard to kind of put into perspective what I was thinking. But I remember it, you know, not something that I was going to do long term. I just realized that it was a lot of hard work. And there was room to grow, and I didn't think I would be as successful and fast, or you know, as I ended up being.
Yeah.
But it was something that I was like, well, let's just stick with it for now.
Yeah.
And see where it goes. So.
You think that drove you in those early years, like that progression, like you can see like the tangible results of like,
yes,
put in work, I get better.
Yes, 100%. I mean, that was the biggest thing. It's, you know, it's hard as a team sport. As much as I love playing team sports and watching team sports, it's, the success is very, it's hard to see right away. It's very dependent on coaching. It's very dependent on your teammates, and that makes it all fun. But running is something that is very individual, as we know. And and it's, if you start from the bottom, like I was, and it's very easy to see. Oh man, if I just put in more miles, I'm gonna see results really, really fast. You know, and then when you get as good as you know, top of the top, then it's like suddenly you can put in a ton of effort to knock off a few seconds. So it's this huge like curve, you know.
Right.
But starting off, it's so fun, and it's even fun seeing people these days pick up running because you know where they're at, and they're like, man, you're gonna see so results so fast because you're starting from the bottom, and it can go so fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even just with training cycles, you know, for even seasoned runners, I find that with myself, where I just kind of get out of shape, and then like I'm building back up, and then you can see these kind of rapid improvements even like as a seasoned runner too, you know.
Right
It makes it fun.
Once you have the base, it's like it's easier than you think to get it back.
Yeah,
you
know? From what I know of you, you've always seemed like to me to be a pretty driven guy. Like you kind of can focus in on something and go for it, and definitely the sport of running really facilitates itself well to that mindset, kind of mindset. So I mean, I think you were probably always a runner. You were just accidentally in football for a little bit.
That's a perfect way to put it, for sure. No, I'm glad I switched over to running, for sure.
So what about after high school? I mean, you have this great success, teams crushing it. I mean, what were your plans or what was your vision? I mean, was that a big focus for you? Like, I got to pursue running on a collegiate level, or how'd that go?
Yeah, it was a weird time. After high school, I never want to say I was like burned out, but I was like, I don't know. I was kind of at a point where I wasn't very good at handling the pressure and stress of racing.
Yeah.
I always say, like, I have a friend who always ran the best in the most important races.
Yeah.
And I was like the inverse of that. I ran the worst in the most important races.
Oh, sure, you know? Sure.
So that kind of ate at me for a little bit, and it's something that I had to work through as I got older and wiser here. But I was kind of at that point. I was like, man, I don't know if I want to like force myself to run competitively and at like a college, you know.
Yeah.
So I definitely was on the table. I think I would have been able to fit into like a D3 program.
Yeah.
Eau Claire was kind of on the radar for something like that. But I also wanted, I had a good friend who had, he was an upperclassman at NACUSA, and he ran with the Wisconsin Track Club, the famous track club at the University of Wisconsin. And, I would ask him about it. I would see things on social media. And they're a very active club. They would go to track. They would go to cross country meets, college meets, and it looked like they were like a program that was running competitively. But the caveat was that, you know, they could really make it how they wanted to.
It was a club, a club at the college.
Yep. Okay, exactly.
Got it.
Yep. So it kind of was anyone could join, but then there was a group of people that would also run competitively, either run unattached or you know, you could start to enter as a team if you had those connections. So that was something that really appealed to me, because if I really, you know, really didn't want to pursue the strenuous, you know, regimen of competitive running at a collegiate level, it wasn't something that I had to be forced into. As much as I wanted to, I was like, I don't know if that's right for me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But what ended up happening is that I went to the University of Minnesota and pursued the club team there. Now, their club team was a lot different than Wisconsin's team. It was not as well established, not as well organized. And I was kind of put off by it. I was kind of down about it. I was like, man, you know.
Yeah.
My parents wanted me to go to Wisconsin, and like, that's one more reason why they told me I should have done that. But I loved going to the U of M. But so my freshman year, you know, we did end up going to meets and things like that, and I kind of got a feel for it. But the next year, the president at that time was kind of ready to wash his hands of those club duties. Mm-hmm. And a role stepped up where I was be able to lead the club. And that was a big moment, because then it was like, okay, I do want to pursue as much competitive racing as I could. Mm-hmm. And so I stepped in that role and really took on that, on the duties, and we really built up the club really nice. Mm. And within that year, we were starting to really compete with not only the college teams, but other clubs like Wisconsin Track Club.
Yeah.
And we felt that we were heading in a really good direction. So, and then by my senior year, we were running really competitively, individually wise, was placing, you know, top 50 in like big meets like Jim Drew's, the big lacrosse invite, Roy Griak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so it ended up being I was able to pursue the competitiveness of it, mm-hmm. but there still was that leniency where I could, if I, you know, had a lot of exams or something, I could back off.
Right.
And in the end, I think it did treat me well, because I felt really good about my experience with that. But it also didn't burn me out, where I felt like it taught me this is something you can do mm-hmm. for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sure you guys know, a lot of people know, you've got some really good runners, collegiate runners.
Yeah.
They don't even run anymore because they got burned out yeah. by the regimen yeah. of it. And
exactly.
I totally understand that. But if you're able to not, then it's something that it taught me to really, really be in it for the long haul. So
couple of questions on the club stuff, because that world really fascinates me, because it's, I don't know if everybody is always familiar with, especially at the bigger D1 schools that offer these run clubs, that they're pretty serious.
Yeah.
But at the same time, do they have kind of just your average back of the Packers that are joining the club as well?
100%.
Yep.
And that's the cool thing, is you're trying to find this balance, because because you want to still grow the club. You want to have numbers.
Right.
Mm. And so we, you know, I think one of the years when I was president, the first day of classes, we met at 5:30 outside Cook Hall every day, you know. And the first year we had over 100 people, you know, show up. Mm-hmm. So a lot of numbers, but most of those people are recreational runners, and mm-hmm. they're going to make the bulk of it. And so it's really, really good and important to have those people. But the people that are really going to hold the club together and make it kind of put it on the map are the competitive runners.
Yeah.
So you're trying to find this balance of people that are, we want people to meet, but we also want to be in the competitive arena as well. So,
right.
But the cool thing is you can have both.
Yeah.
And if it's a well-run club, which we ended up, you know, really building it to that, there was a really, really good balance of people that just wanted to show up and run their daily run with people, and then those that wanted, you know, to really compete competitively on the weekends and mm-hmm. train and have that same sort of team feeling that you would get at in any running program. So it's really a cool thing, and it is fascinating.
It is cool. It is really cool. I'm not sure if a lot of people know about it, especially high school kids who maybe run, really enjoyed it, and they know they're not D1 fast.
Yep.
There's club options then. If you go to the U or Wisconsin or wherever, you can do that and still have all the competitive needs that you might want to continue to work with and still improve your times too.
100%.
Did you guys do three seasons?
So we did cross country, indoor and outdoor.
Yep.
And the thing is then you really do, if you're on that borderline of, you know, maybe not, you know, making the team, we had many people that ended up training with us. We had a coach, and they ended up being able to walk on as gophers. Hmm. So
yeah, exactly.
It's an opportunity to do that. And I think it's a really good relationship if a collegiate team has that with a club team, because you never know when someone's, you know, going to come out of the, you know, out of the bushes with better than they were in high school.
Exactly.
You know, there's still a lot of development that a runner can have.
Totally.
You know, so,
And where would you guys travel to? What are some examples of places you would go for meets?
We stayed, the Roy Griak was always a big one. So we try to do as local as we can, because unfortunately we didn't have a lot of funding from the university or from a collegiate program. So all this travel was out of our own pocket, which was, you know, it was like bummer, but it also kind of, you know, you really you really wanted to do it because it was something that you had to pay for yourself.
Brings everybody in together.
Yep. Yeah. So there's a lot of fun, you know, memories of us dirtbagging and, you know, showing up to meets, you know, in all our junky college cars and coming out and kicking butt. So, but we just stay alone. But then there was a few that we had to travel far away because the organization, the national organization, is called NERCA, and actually Greg Hapala, he's a Grammar's representative, race director, he was in charge. He was one of the representatives for NERCA. I think he still might be.
He might.
But he was, I had first met him through that connection of being a club president. And so NERCA is has progressively gotten more and more organized and competitive.
Sure.
And now it's a big deal. They have a national cross-country meet, national track meet. And so, club teams all over the nation can come and compete at that. That's like our national meet.
Yeah.
And it's very competitive. And a lot of prizes and things come in that. So, you know, it's not NCAA, but it's pretty dang close. It's pretty fun. So
it's super cool.
It's really interesting how the club, I mean, like you said, it's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But like, it's only cool because you and the rest of the people like made it cool. Like, this isn't guaranteed to be even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it takes the power of the team, right, to make it what it is.
100%.
I think that's an interesting facet compared to like a collegiate, you know, actual team, because like that could just go in the tank, everyone can hate it, and then, but I mean, this program will continue,
right?
Like, if the team, the club, everyone hates it, no one shows up anymore, then it's just done, fizzles out, and it dissolves into a tournament.
100%.
On the flip side, though, right, like you make it cool, there's the passion, there's the cohesion with the group, and then that's sweet, and everyone loves it, right?
Yep.
It's funny that you brought that up, because that was where it was at when I started out a freshman. It was on the hinge. Like, I'm not serious. We would show up in the winter and there might have been three people.
Yeah.
You know? And I just knew that, like, that just wasn't going to cut it. So
do you think that's like high school? Like you said, you know, in high school, it kind of started off, it wasn't a big thing. I mean, maybe that was kind of you personally as a runner, but, and you know, you and your high school teammates grew the program, and
100%.
Did you feel that, like, I've already kind of been through this, like I can take the reins
here, and even on a larger scale, you know, I just, you know, we just felt like if we have people that are gonna run, and honestly it was just about showing up, the leadership of, you know, this is what we're gonna do, and just having the structure and everything. That in itself, people want to know, like, okay, this is going to be a legit thing, especially if they're paying money for it to travel. We wanted to have, you know, things really organized, and I think that organization spurred things into blossom really well. And even now, you know, I still follow their social media page. It's Minnesota Running Club. They also call themselves the University Running Club, TURC for short. But I look at them, they are thriving. Lots of people, they've got their own traditions, so it's really good to see, you know, that continued and carried on, you know. So,
and sometimes then in local road races, particularly grandmas, you will see those singlets of university clubs, doing in road races as well. So
there's that flexibility too, right? Not all college teams can race in any rate, or like like you're limited,
right? NCAA cracks down on you, but you're not really under those sort of rules, so you can make it what you want.
Totally do that.
So did you find that your maybe notion was correct in high school? You're feeling like kind of anxiety, like the big races.
Did you find that
like being on the club mitigated that, or were you able to just work through that personally, and what were some of your tips
I'm glad you circled back to that, because that was one of the biggest thing I think I've learned, and I would pass on to you know, any runner that may have that I definitely got over that sort of race anxiety.
So and many because, people have it too. I mean, we've right. how many interview yeah. subjects talk about the exact same thing?
Yeah, exactly. A lot, right. especially with competitive careers to oh, yeah. go back on high yeah. school and even college. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And the club was a big reason for that because essentially you were always walking and you were always the underdog. Yeah, right. No one expected you to run. And so if you did well, that's great. If you didn't, that's okay too.
Yeah.
And in that mind process, I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some good races. You're going to have some bad races.
Yeah.
And you can, and you don't have to, sometimes you can go in a race feeling sore and it's okay. You don't have to perform the best every single time. It's right. a stepwise process. And in that thinking, hopefully when you get to the race that you really want to do well at,
yeah.
you know, you're going to trust your training more than, you know, I hope I'm in good enough shape. You know, you feel like you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that was a big, contributing factor to that it, you know, in a sense that it just didn't matter. You know, yeah. I'm out here, I paid money to travel and be here. I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to push myself as hard as I can. But in the end, I want it to be fun.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of work and money yeah. to be able to just be here. Mm-hmm. So if I do well, that's going to be great. And most of the time, because of that mindset shift, I was able to do well.
Yeah.
But that I'm glad you brought that up because that was a big thing for that. So
yeah. Well, it's some good tips for anyone listening too. You know, don't put so much pressure on yourself.
I often think a lot of people think if you have a lot of fun with, we'll just say running, but whatever endeavor, but running specifically, then you're not serious and therefore you won't perform super well. But I think it's actually the opposite. I think if yeah. you have a lot more fun, you're going to end up performing better.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I think that's well said. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your event on the track?
I really focused in on the mile.
Mm-hmm.
High school, I ran a lot of 800s.
Okay.
400, 800s.
Mm-hmm.
And that mid-distance speed and kind of my whole sort of body shape is kind of more geared towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran a mile. I got it as low as a 4:23 mm-hmm. for an indoor. Well, mm-hmm. it wasn't too bad.
Indoor, yeah.
Almost caught a couple gophers, you yeah. know? So yeah. it was just headed in the right direction. But
yeah.
So that was kind of the main ones. And then always run the 4x4.
Yeah.
Which is always, you know, the last race. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of mental fortitude to try to do that. Everyone's packing up, you know, ready to go, and you still yeah. gotta gut out this sprint around, you know.
When you were doing those track meets then on the club, was yeah. there a limit of how many events you could partake in?
No, I don't think so.
Would you do like three maybe a night?
I could, yeah. yeah. Yep. I did a lot of miles in 4x4s, like I said, but yeah. You know, I jump into a field, a relays or something.
Or some other relays, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, cool, fun.
Yeah.
That makes it even more fun in a way. As long as you can, right. don't die on the right. third and fourth event.
Exactly. And having the control to choose events, I you know, in high school, you kind of do what your coaches do and to mm-hmm. help the team and everything. But then, you know, you can really just, you know, we knew we weren't going to like come away with the winning the meet. So it was more mm-hmm. very, you know, we just wanted to perform individually really well and as representing the club. So
did you guys have a coach who would kind of determine what events, or did you just kind of
we a couple of leaders? We got to pick them. Okay. We got to pick the events, but we did have a coach that helped us train. Mm-hmm. His name is Mark Gross, and he was the Minneapolis South head coach.
Okay.
Successful coach Hassan Mead. To throw some name drop out there.
Yeah.
But super great coach. I mean, this is a guy who volunteered his time to come out and coach us just because he just wanted to make his mark on the collegiate level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, he would drive to our meets
mm-hmm.
cool. When he didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who I respect to no end.
Mm.
And everyone in the club did too.
Yeah.
And tragically, he did end up passing away from cancer a couple years ago.
Hmm.
But he, man, you're talking about someone who loved to run, and just, you know, he wasn't a big runner himself. He was in the past, but now he just He just coached.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he was so into it when he didn't have to be. This is all volunteer. So
wow.
Cool.
Yeah. So that, I mean, talking about someone that really influences you in life, that was the, that was one of them for sure.
That's awesome.
So. Cool. So then how did you transition to your president of the club? And then obviously you must have seen, like, my time is going to end as president of the club at some point. Like, how did that
go? It was tough to give up. It was a ton of fun, but senior year of college, I had gotten my credits and it was time to look towards the future. And, then there was some underclassmen coming up, and I wanted one thing that when I took over my duties, I didn't have anything. They just dropped in my lap.
You're right.
And there wasn't much to really drop in my lap in the first place. Yeah. But I wanted to make sure when that change of leadership came that they knew everything that I knew, the connections I had, why we did this, the apparel that we ordered, just everything laid out perfectly. So, it was a democratic, vote every year that we have for leadership, and new president came in, made that transition. And like I said, it's still really thriving today, which is awesome to see.
Cool.
So
did you say to yourself, like, well, I'm just going to do random races, or did you have a goal or kind of vision for your running career from there?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird sort of transition, because then I went into grad school, and that was still in the city, so I still had connections with that club, and then started to dabble into some of the road clubs in that area. I ended up running with Twin Cities Track Club for a while, and mainly by default, because most of my friends from the Minnesota Running Club went into that one. So but then I was like, running the circuit, and that there's your Memorial Brian Kraft runs. What other ones, TC10. So it was trying to transitioning into that, and that's really competitive in the cities. But I ended up running some. There's like two times in my life where I was like in the best shape of my life.
Yeah.
The year I ran that 4:23 mile, and then the year I actually lived out of a van for a few months, and all I had to do, there was nothing I could do besides just run all the time.
Yeah.
And I ran like I was thinking today, because we ran a 10-mile run, but TC10, I got fourth place, and I ran like a 53.
Yeah.
I was like, that was the second best time I've ever been in shape in my life.
Yeah, nice.
But so it was like that transition, and then starting to run marathons more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I ran Grandma's, was my first marathon, 2016, I think it was, and just bombed it. Oh, just bombed it. I think I ran a 3:01. I just couldn't get under 3, and I was just tanking. I think I was like, the last 10 miles were some of the most excruciating pain. But now I've learned, and now it's trying to master the marathon on up,
So what drew you to marathon, or just, was it just something different, like kind of the next step up, or?
Just next step up, of do that transition from, you're running your track races, and it's like, some people love that. Like, I'm okay not running the mile, trying to knock a couple seconds off of a mile. That's so much work, and my body was feeling it. So
kind of comes back to like that progression, right? If you've done the mile a lot, right? And I mean, you got some speed. What does it take to shave a second, 5 seconds off? Versus, the so marathon, much, yeah. uncharted territory, you can kind uncharted. Of start from scratch, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the concept?
For sure. And part of it was, now we can transition into my trail running. That's that's been the big thing that I've latched on to. And that was, I didn't even know trail running was a thing. I was just like, oh, it's more interesting when I run on a trail, I still had my like road shoes and everything.
Yeah.
And then I discovered, I'm like, wow, you can like, there's these like long runs, like these 50 mile runs on trail. I'm like, that sounds awesome. That sounds like something I could get on board with. Yeah. So I was super intrigued with the ultra trail sort of thing. And then part of the reason I moved up to Duluth was to kind of be, kind of plug into that a little bit more. The trail mm-hmm. access here, yeah. as we know, is insane. And there's no better place to do some trail running. So
yeah.
That's kind of what kind of made that path into those longer runs.
I mean, we've talked about running a lot. Well, the other part of this podcast is Duluth, after all, right? It is a Duluth podcast. And we haven't talked about your business at all. You know, like how did you shake out in Duluth? Like, did you have a choice? Were you brought here? I mean, I guess I kind of know this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, part of the reason why I decided to start my own practice as a chiropractor was because I got to choose where I wanted to live.
Right.
And there was a lot of things on the list, you know. I was like, oh, maybe I should move out west, you know. Just, I wanted to be an outdoor area.
Yeah.
But we visited Duluth maybe two or three times with friends. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, dude, I don't know. You come to a place, you guys have grown up here, is that right?
No, actually,
both
no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you both are transplants. So you might know this, but that feeling you get when you're in a place and it's a lot different than you'd expect. It's a lot cooler. It's a lot, like, it's magical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I had experienced that when we came and visited. Mm-hmm. And the more and more I checked into it, I'm just like, wow, their trail system is insane.
Yeah.
And then I started following social media pages, and it was like every single day they were like, oh, we're building this new trail. And I'm like, they're still doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, man, I was just super drawn to that. And the more and more I thought about it, I was like, Duluth has so much potential, you know? You go to Flagstaff, Moab, whatever, that stuff is already established. People know that is an outdoor area.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Duluth still, I felt like, was under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think that's where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfect scenario because I still like to go to the cities. I still like to keep my friendships, especially through running there. And so now everyone that, you know, shacks up with me for grandmas because they got a connection in Duluth now. So, but I just am so proud to be from Duluth, and it was the best decision I've made in my life, which is, I can count on my one hand on those. So that's a big deal.
Nice. And then talk about your business. I mean, I think this is kind of where a little bit where some of the link in the chain goes. Like, now you have the opportunity, you know, through your chiropractor practice to almost be a link in the chain for people's wellness, right? I mean, talk on that a little bit.
Yeah, and running was the reason why I went into chiropractic. I throughout high school, I had a lot of overuse injuries, and as we know, it can be pretty frustrating, especially as a young kid. I didn't know, you know, most of the injuries were like the wrists. You know, it happens fast. You know what it is.
Accident.
Whereas overuse running, I never experienced something like, so the more work you do, there's a risk you can get injured from it. It was a foreign concept.
Yeah.
And so that was really hard for me to kind of, you know, work through. And I did a lot of things. My parents are super supportive. We saw a ton of, you know, different healthcare providers, physical therapists, athletic trainers, you know, and all very helpful. But for some reason, I would just keep getting injured again.
Yeah.
And part of it, I look back at now, was just me being stubborn, not taking the rest that I needed to.
Yeah.
But one thing that really, really did help, and one thing that I really was attracted to, the overall philosophy of chiropractic. And I went to a chiropractor for the first time when I was 15. And I got an x-ray of my spine, and it was pretty jacked up. So it kind of made sense. I was like, man, if I'm like a car that's out of alignment. Like, if I'm running on this, like, of course, if I do too many miles, you know, you put too many miles on the car, it's going to need some maintenance after a while.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening here. You know, my body just wasn't functioning to a capacity where I could put in the training that I wanted to and the level of success that I needed to train to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just really latched onto that. And another thing I loved about it is, like, I think a lot of health care nowadays is finding out what's wrong with your body, what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Whereas I like chiropractic because it kind of honors and feels like it's finding out what's right with the body. Mm-hmm. Your body has a chance to heal itself. Let's just maximize that potential.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just really liked that nothing was wrong with me. I just needed to maximize my potential of function that I already have. Mm-hmm. And, the performance and the recovery and everything will come with it. So, so I went down that path, went to school for it. And here we are, you know, that's started my own practice, like I said, so I could live in Duluth. And it's been the most helpful thing personally, to help with my running and recovery, injuries, performance in general. Mm-hmm. So,
Do you have any tips maybe for our listeners as, you know, a longtime runner, but also a local chiropractor, also just, you know, working with a lot of different people, runners and coaches and throughout your whole, I mean, what are some tips for exactly what you said, you know, having your body primed, being smart, injury prevention, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's injuries are super tricky topic because it's different for everyone. Yeah. And everyone has their own things that really help them out a lot. I think the main thing to really take away is, you know, health isn't about how you feel. A lot of times if you ask people if they're healthy, they'll say, well, I'm healthy because I feel good, right? Mm-hmm. But we know that that's not necessarily the case. People, you know, have heart attacks, you know, that's the first symptom they feel, and they've had heart disease for 10 plus years.
Right.
People have, you know, stage 4 cancer and don't even feel it. So we know examples that that's not really the case, but it's hard to get out of that mindset. So when a runner comes and says, well, I feel good, well, that's great, but we all have to do something, like I said, to have maintenance.
Right.
And my plug for chiropractic is, I think it's all about, I think people, the barriers to doing things that prevent injury is the time and money, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I think chiropractic is great because, one, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. And the way we run our office is it can be very quick. There's, it's easy to park. You can come on in. You don't have to go up across a skywalk down into elevators and you know, you can come right on in. It doesn't take a lot of your time. And it's one of the most effective things that you can do to improve your optimal function and health.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, that's what I think a lot of runners are looking for, something that's not going to take a lot of their time, because we know time is very precious, especially if you're running a lot of miles. But it's in something that's really going to maximize their potential to the best of its ability. So I think that's the main thing that I think chiropractic really is an outlier to many other things that people can do to prevent injury and health.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, Kyle, you've lived in Duluth, you researched Duluth, and you said this is the spot, and then you moved here, and it was one of the best decisions of your life. I guess, what are some of your favorite things about Duluth? But then also, tell us and our listeners, what are maybe some of your favorite, like, running routes? You know, what do you look forward to in Duluth when it comes to running?
Oh, man. Good question. There's so much. I don't want to talk your ear out. I'm doing a lot of talking, but
the trails,
I suppose so. Here we are. Man, the trails are just the best.
Yeah.
So many of them. I guess, you know, I have some few routes. I live by Hartley, so Hartley's kind of my neighborhood to go on, and I've probably run the whole Hartley loop, guardrail, SHT, probably like 200 times.
Yeah.
Still never gets old. You know, there's sometimes, but most of the time I'm like, man, these trails are so well built. There's so much character to them. They're challenging, but still, you know, not like you're a backbreaker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love running Hartley, but anywhere, Leicester is great. You know, even in the winter, Leicester in the winter is fabulous. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're looking for those trails, they've groomed them so well. You can run easy 11 miles, you know, and you're getting great views, you know. Sometimes yeah. I just have to, like, I'm running and you're just like, man, I can't believe I live here, you know. Yeah, I can't yeah. believe I'm running this right now.
Yeah.
And it only took me, you know, a few minutes to get here.
Right.
So, I don't know. Am I off topic?
No. Good.
Those are the go-tos. But anywhere on the SHT,
mm-hmm.
I know we've that canoe, we went down the St. Louis River and then ran back on the SHT.
Yeah.
There's so many different things you can do to make connections to the trails, and
yeah,
it's just endless fun. Oh man,
endless.
Yeah. And yeah. the things that you do, you're like, oh, I want to do it again, but there's still so much to explore too. So yeah, it's pretty endless fun. So
endless fun, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, totally.
That could be like the tagline for Duluth.
Yeah.
Endless fun.
Yeah.
You might want to trademark that or something.
Yeah. It's true, man. There's so much to do if, you know, even outside of running. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Active sports, outdoor recreation paradise.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for you? Do you have races coming up? What are your yeah. goals with running, I guess, from here?
We got Grandma's for, it'll be the third time that I'll be running that one. And so always really like to perform well there, as it's like the home course, home race, you know. Mm-hmm. You it's fun to run a marathon where you've got people that know you mm-hmm. shouting at you. So it's always fun to perform well on that one. Mm-hmm. And then my dream race has always been one of the Superior races in the fall. So I got the Superior 50, cool. Which is, yeah, that's like... You know, the 100 would probably be my dream race, but I'm okay doing the 50
mm-hmm.
And getting used to that. I still got to master those ones, but that'll be a dream race for sure. So, it's so the fun part about being in Duluth again is it's so fun to jump into some of the, you know, races that, you know, people would have to plan a lot to make. You know, you've got the Kurnow, Voyager. Like, I think last year I signed up for Voyager 2 weeks out because
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I guess I'm not doing anything that weekend, you know, so
you might as well
do it, you know, to get you out there on the trail for as long as possible.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think those two on the radar at this point are going to be the big ones for the year. So
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. That sounds great.
I think last thing, I don't know, Tony, do you have any other questions, I guess,
topics? I don't think so, but ask yours and maybe something will pop into my head.
I was just going to say, now is the time, Kyle, for this shameless plug. I mean, how do people learn about your chiropractor practice,
for sure.
website? How do they get started with you?
Yeah.
If they like what they hear.
Yeah, yeah. So it's super easy to get started in our office, especially, you know, I always have the idea of it's always sucks bringing your car to a mechanic and then you have to pay to tell them what's wrong. And before they fix it, I would rather just have them tell me what's wrong and then pay to have them fix it. So it's no charge to get things checked out, especially if you refer to the podcast and say, I heard about it here.
Yeah.
Come on in. We check your spine just like a dentist would check each tooth, check each segment, see how it works, see how it moves, find any in trouble, get a set of x-rays so we can see the overall condition. Like I said, that was extremely valuable to me to see so I could really see what was going on in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we really are able to put together a plan that's going to keep you in good shape and make changes. And really, you know, we've had people, it completely changed people's lives, and mm-hmm. we've had people help. You know, it's always going to help a little or a lot. That's what I say.
Yeah.
So, so no charge to get things checked out in our office, and you can find information at wildernesswellnessduluth.com, or Facebook, Instagram, all those sort of social media platforms. So, mm-hmm.
And your office is?
Yep, office is on Central Entrance. So it's going to be next to AT&T and Subway. kind of that outcropping of business between downtown and the mall.
Cool.
One thing that I appreciate about your practice is that you're a guy who does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you in sure. terms of the athletic stuff. And so yeah. and so when runners come in to you,
yep.
you have that instant relation with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't always quite happen in sort of the
yeah.
right.
chiropractic, healthcare, PT sort of world. Often there's right. you know, people that are pretty active, but
yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody who's going to sort of get it from a runner's sure. perspective the way Kyle does.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I definitely, if someone comes in with an overuse injury, I've been down that path
yeah.
far too many times. I know how it goes. I know how frustrating it is. But I also know the things I've learned is that a lot of times it takes more time than you think to heal. You know, sometimes you need someone to sit you down and say,
yeah,
it's just going to take time.
Yeah.
You'll get back running.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. A good lesson for all of us.
yeah.
when it comes to healing.
I get it. Yep.
good.
All right. Anything else, Mike?
I got nothing.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. This was super, yeah. super fun. It's always fun to talk a lot about yourself, I guess, right? so I appreciate you listening to me. So
thank you for coming on.
Yeah, we appreciate of course. It.
All right, and that wraps up episode number 60 and our interview portion of the Duluth Rundown podcast. I want to thank Dr. Kyle Severson for joining us. Really nice to talk with him about kind of his running career up to this point, because he's still got quite a few years left to go. And just really good time chatting about that. And I hope everybody out there is enjoying the cold spring running and their grandma's training.